from the book of Psalm 85, verses 4 to 9. Can we have the slides for the scripture reading? Restore us again, God our Saviour, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. This afternoon, we're very glad to have Brother David Leong to share with us God's word. Sermon title is Family Revival. Brother David Leong, please.
A very good afternoon to all of you, brothers and sisters in Christ, and greet those who are watching or worshiping together online. I need to put on my face mask so that I will not infect or cause my cough germs, if there are, to be onto the microphones here. So bear with me. I hope you can still hear me. If you still can, please wave. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, very obedient, yes, including all the children. Good job. Keep it up. All right, so as has been announced, we're going to look at this whole topic called family revival. Yes, and as you already know, today is what Sunday?
Palm
Sunday. Now, it's not about your palm, but it's the palm leaves in your hands, for those of you who have been given one. And actually, it is the start of what we call the Holy Week or the Passion Week, where Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a white horse. Was it a horse? Yes, children, was it a horse? What was it? Make the sound of that animal. Hee-haw, 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 hee-haw. It was a donkey, it was a baby donkey. And I think the children's sermon was very good to say, well, let's be a donkey for Jesus to be ready to help. And it leads on to what we would call Easter or Resurrection Sunday, which is the 5th of April. And you heard that word that was being cried out by the people. What was the word? Was it hallelujah? No. What word was it? Hosanna. And what does it mean? Save us. Well done. Give it to a big clap. Yeah, they were listening. Save us, we pray. Today we want to ask God to save our families. Yes, of course, those are in the war-torn zones in Ukraine and Russia, as well as in the Middle East. Certainly, many families are being displaced. In fact, some of their members maybe have died. But we're not talking about those physical deaths. We are talking about reviving families in a spiritual sense. So stay tuned with me. We're going to look at the psalm again. And the two words that are in red. First one, can you all say the word? Rest. Restore, and the next one, ready, go.
Revive.
Okay, so you go restore, revive, both start with letter R. And then, of course, verses 8 and 9 talks about what the psalmist will do in terms of listening to what God will say or says and how we should fear him. I'll come to that in a short hour's time. But let me give us a little background of this Psalm 85. It is a communal prayer. That means like what we did today in a church service, we come together as a community, as a family, and we pray to the God who is sovereign, the one who is forever faithful, the one who is perfect in love, as we've sung. It was written or by the sons of Korah and likely written during or after the Jews have come back from Babylon, where they were captured or they were in what we call exile. That is, they were actually sent there in captivity. So around 520 BC or before Christ. This psalm reflects a mix of gratitude, thankfulness for God's past restoration, but it's not just looking back to the past of what God has done, but it also pleads for a continued mercy, asking God to not give us what we deserve for them, as the people still face trials, challenges, and sought or looked for full spiritual revival. That means reviving their hearts in relationship with God. Now, before we go on, besides verse 4, which we have read, restore us again, the word restore is already being used in verse 1, as the writers actually recall how God restored or has restored the fortunes of Jacob or the people of Israel. Now, other Bible translations have the word restore to be bring us back again. Can you say bring us back again? That's from ICB, which is International Children's Bible. Or in NIRV, New International Reader's Version. Can you all say the words in red? Make us, ready go. Make us new again. Oh, well, so maybe it's not about getting old and so it's going to make us new again in terms of looks. I've just been meeting with some friends that say, you never grow old one. Huh? Not true. Those of us, or those of people who know me, will know that my hair has already gone very gray. Yes, I may still look the same physically, but suddenly I am turning. Now, some of the young people and children will know this sign. Uh-oh. Now, grandparents and parents, please don't get offended, because this one is just from a song that was a rap that has got, what's the number? 6-7, 6-7. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. Anyway. Or from the basketball player who was 6'7". But I'm not 6'7". I'm only 5 feet something. Okay. Right. So anyway, the word translated as restore in this psalm actually is a Hebrew word that we get for the word turn. Everybody says turn. Now, so this is like make a U-turn when possible. Or turn back. Give us back our life. It's just like when many of us, and I hope all of us, including those who are watching online or worshiping online, when we first come to Christ to receive Him as our personal Savior and Lord, so thankful for His sacrifice at the cross, as we've read in Isaiah chapter 53, and how He has removed, God has removed the iniquities, our sins, and laid upon Jesus when He died on the cross. And we repented, we say sorry to God, and then we turn to God. Repentance is about turning to God through faith or trusting in Christ. So revival has the same actions. Remember that. Now, then we read the other red word, which was revive. And this is the next word that actually has the same Hebrew idea of turn. So in verse 6, it says, will you not revive us again, that your people may, the next R word, rejoice. Everybody says rejoice. Yeah, we shouldn't be sad, even though there are walls around and sicknesses and I am not feeling well. I should be sad. I should have told Pastor John, I said, can you please take over the sermon today? Then he'll be very sad. Then I'll be rejoicing. No. So other translations for the word revive, can you read the words in red? 1, 2, go. Give us. And then or. Give us new life again. So it's not just that life, but new life, or what we call in the Bible, in the New Testament, eternal life, or everlasting life, or abundant life. Life in relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Now, friends, boys and girls, actually, you cannot revive something that has already experienced or has not experienced life. If you ask God to give us back life or give us new life again, there must have been life in the first place that was maybe lost or deteriorated or gone astray, like what we read in Isaiah chapter 53. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. So revival is not bringing something to life for the first time, but rather bringing back to life something that's already experienced decline. So I don't know about you and me. For those of us who are still very young, maybe you say, oh, my life is still going well. We just had our March school holidays, maybe not enough. Then you wait for the next one in June. But for some of us who have lived beyond this number, or the other way around, 76, we may have physically declined. We may have lost some of our teeth, lost some of our hair, lost some of our hearing, lost some of our eyesight, maybe lost some of our voice or muscle strength. But what about in our spiritual life, in our life with God? Have we experienced decline? That means you have not been loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You have already been just going through the motions, as it were. That means, okay, Sunday is worship time. I just come to church, and after that, I just go off. And then during the week, in your work, in your school, you're back to the same or worse. You have not grown to become an effective witness or a disciple of Jesus Christ. That when people look at you and say, huh, why are you not just still like that? Or why are you getting worse in your conduct, in your behavior, in your working attitude as a Christian? Because they know that you're a Christian. Or at least they know that you go to church or Sunday school. So have we experienced decline? And I believe all of us do at some point in time, myself included. That I become lazy in reading my Bible, in praying to God. I just say only, good morning, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then after that, at night, I say, good night, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then in between, I say my grace to give thanks for my food. Or worse, sometimes I even forget to say grace. That's prayer. But some of us have taken God's love and protection for granted. And maybe that's what displeased God. For the Israelites, we need to ask the question, what was God's displeasure towards the Israelites? What was he angry about? Oh, boys and girls, you see? I thought God is always loving. Yes, he is. Does he ever get angry? He does. He does. Just that as much as your parents and grandparents love you, they do get angry with you once in a while, isn't it? And the reason is because you have not been behaving yourselves. You have displeased them. So an indication can be found in verse 8, where the writers pleaded with God to let them not turn back to their folly. Everybody says the word folly. Everybody says again, folly. What is folly? Well, folly is anything that has no purpose or meaning or anything that lacks any value. Something maybe like we say the word stupid, foolishness, or living in any sin. Whether is it a lie, whether is it, getting so upset and angry that you want to kill somebody, is the greatest folly a man or woman can do, because sin will separate a person from God and will ultimately lead to spiritual death. This is the eternal separation from God, which is not what God wants or will be happy about. But the devil wants people to be spiritually dead. even though you're physically alive. But you are like this cartoon here, boys and girls, look up. There's this verse in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11, that actually has the word folly. And so it gives the illustration that as a dog returns to its vomit, yucky. So a fool returns to his folly. So what made God angry about for the Israelites is that in the first three verses, when they recall how God has already blessed them, restored their fortunes, forgiven them, saved them, and now brought them back from exile or from captivity in Babylon, they should be more loving to God or towards God. But it seems that they are declining or they are likely turning back to their old ways, their foolish ways. So boys and girls, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's not be foolish. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't be a fool. Come on, turn to the person and say, don't be a fool. Or rather, say, don't be foolish. That means don't do back the same stupid things that you have been doing that makes God upset. Another illustration that I found is about pigs. Now, pigs are also known as hogs, H-O-G. So there was a very successful farmer, a pig farmer, a hog farmer, who was relatively progressive. That was doing very well in the way he treated his pigs. However, one grim afternoon, the building in which he fed his pigs burned down. Uh-oh. While firefighters tried to quench the flames, they arrived too late to save the building. A number of pigs were trapped in the burning building and they were killed. But then the farmer managed to save a few of them by chasing them out of the building and away from the flames. However, the pigs were remarkably persistent. That means they just wanted to go back to their folly. So what did they do? They actually managed to run back into the building that was burning. Even though the farmer was trying so hard, but he couldn't confine them to the safe place. And so out of panic, out of foolishness, some of the pigs ran back into the building that was burning and they died too. So this illustrates for us that if we are not careful, brothers and sisters in Christ, boys and girls, that when we sense that we are not growing in our relationship with God, as an individual, as a family, as a church community, as a nation, then we might be displeasing God. But we pray, Hosanna! Everybody says, Hosanna! Save us, we pray, from going back to our folly that will cause you to be angry with us. And so when I was sharing with Pastor John and when he asked me what topic will I be speaking on, my heart was burdened in recent months, especially at the beginning of this year, about families in Singapore that are breaking down or have broken down. I've experienced some couples, young couples, with like, when I say young, they're already in the early 50s, that they got three children, and they had divorced. Then, of course, there are many others that are not living in close, loving relationship with one another. There's a lot of problems in the family. Now, of course, every family will have problems, but what are they doing about it? My wife is a counselor, and she has experienced that when couples or individuals come to her for counseling to be helped, sometimes it's a bit too late because they don't open up early enough. And the Church of Jesus Christ, unfortunately, is not a very safe place to talk about some of our struggles, not only in our lives, but also in our families. So I pray that if you've forgotten everything about what I'm going to share next, that as we look at family revival, as we ask God to save us by shouting Hosanna, that we'll be willing to be the donkey to help others and also be willing to be helped. Offer yourselves. Come clean. Come courageous. I know it's not easy. It's easier said than done. Because it's like washing dirty linen in public. We are usually very ashamed of some of our own difficulties. And I pray that Grace SCC, like my church, Grace Methodist Church, will have so much grace and gracious people to offer help to revive families. Because, friends, boys and girls, take a look at this latest statistics. Numbers. The state of marriages in Singapore. 2003, fewer people got married, but increase in divorces, 3.7%. Oh, what is 3.7%? But you see, in 2025, there's this update from the Focus on the Family. It dropped further in terms of the number of marriages. Now that, you may say, well, I think it's better not to get married. So many problems. But those of us who are married, I pray that you will not only stay married, but you will be strengthened in your marriages and you will encourage the people who are still thinking about whether to marry or not to marry, unless it is you're very sure that God has given you the gift of singlehood for life, then you might want to reconsider your positions or your preferences. You see, because this is related to what's happening in some of our marriages and families. So for the third year since 2020, in fact, the number has been going down and down and down. And because of that, you find that, therefore, the number of children will be fewer and fewer. So you find that some of these reasons why people are not getting married because there are fewer people of marriageable age. Many of us are getting older and older. There are economic uncertainties, especially now with the war. And Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars. So if your reason is that because of the wars, you're not going to get married then, you really have to think twice. Individuals taking longer time to find the correct spouse, you know. I cannot find the right one because there's none left. Thank you. You got that. Now, when, you know, we counsel people before they get married, say, don't find the right person. Be the right one yourself. Because we all have our strengths and our areas of improvements. So you can't find a Mr. Perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. Well, like I mentioned, the number of children being born in Singapore has gone down from 2024 to 0.97. That means not even one child. How you get a 0.97 child? Not complete, right? It's as good as zero. And the latest from our government is that it has hit a record low, 0.87. Again, when the nation and then the families and the churches don't have a lot of children, how can we fulfill Jesus' invitation or command? Let the little children come to me. And this Saturday, I'm going to be sharing with the Sunday school teachers, and I believe, Sissy Yinping, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to say that in our discussion, we did say that it's not only Sunday school teachers, right? Parents also can come. Got space, right? Uh-oh, maybe not. She yet. Now, you go and talk to her. Maybe you can sneak in, yeah? How to lead children to worship God? Because Psalm 8, verse 2, which I'll be referring to a lot more in this Saturday, out of the lips of infants and children you have ordained praise. Why? Because of God's enemies. For what? To silence the foe and the avenger. If we don't have a lot of children,
in our families, in our churches, then how are we going to fulfill that? How will God's name be glorified? Of course, not about the numbers per se, but we want to grow our churches. We want to see the glory of God filling the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. Do I hear amen? Hello? Yeah, you're not just going to be satisfied with the 144,000 people recorded in the book of Revelation to be in heaven, right? Wrong. It should be more than that number. Well, so my brothers and sisters in Christ, there are concerns, even though it is not about Christian marriages, but if you ask your pastoral staff, and among many pastors and Christian leaders in Singapore, the number of Christian marriages that are breaking down or have broken down, the percentage is not that far off from the national statistics. So the number of marriages that have been dissolved or divorced is up 3.7% from 2023, and as you've seen earlier on, it has actually gone even higher in 2025, which is six. No, that's the number of marriages that have gone down. All right, so enough of that. The divorces actually have caused a lot of what we call repercussions. If you look at the period between 2004 and 2024, you see the number of divorces between 10 to 14 years have gone up. 15 to 19 years also went up. 20 to 24 years slightly also gone up. Everyone else has gone up except those below 10 years old. But it's also not a small portion below 10 years old. So what does that mean? It does mean that the number of divorces under the age of 18 years involving families with children under 18 years, it's about 3,000 over. And then more than 5,390 children in Singapore we're talking about were impacted by divorce. I already quoted you one example, three children. And there are many others. Well, just let me quickly say this to all of us, that in Malachi chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, I'm not going to dwell too much into it. There's a verse that says, "For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce." Now, let me clarify. He still loves us, even the people who have been divorced, and maybe some of you, or you know of friends and relatives or family members. It is because when divorce takes place, it is the two persons have failed to fulfill the vows that they made before God and before the people who are their witnesses. Divorce is never God's original intent. It destroys the home, the church, and the nation. Especially in the church, people will take sides, even the families. Whose side are you going to be on? It always involves sin. And what God has joined together, and when you break that, it actually can be part of abuse, abusing the wife of your covenant. And so what does it mean to revive families, boys and girls, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, for this, I was sharing with Pastor John that earlier this year, in fact, just before the 40 days leading up to Good Friday, we call it the Lent season or Lenten season, there is a movement that has been started by the World Evangelical Alliance, and under its umbrella, this group known as the Family Challenge, where they have actually come up with 40 days of prayer. And I want you to just listen to my good friend, Reverend Dr. P.C. Matthew from Bangalore or Bangalore. He's the executive director and one of the founders of the Urban India Ministries, leading a leading Christian family ministry in India. He's also the founder and Dean of the UIM, the Urban Indian Ministries Family Research and Training Institute, and he's the current Global Director of WEA's Family Challenge. So here we go. I need the sound, yeah, technical crew, thank you. Oh, sorry, can you help me to click, can you help me to click onto the picture, the family revival? Is it? I've embedded it. Uh-huh, yes. Is it coming? No. Can you go to the website there? I mean, can you? Are you connected? You can just click onto the link there. It should show up. Okay. While they are being fixed, basically what happens is, okay, let me go to the next slide. You can go onto the internet if you can. The next slide. Are you able to move it? Hello? Can I move to the next slide? So that while you try to get onto the internet. No, next slide. Next slide. Okay. So since February the 15th this year, and now leading into Easter or Resurrection Sunday, the movement aims to place God at the center of families or homes using weekly prayer guides focused on scripture and intercession, that means praying, to restore and revive strained relationships in marriages, families, among siblings, brothers and sisters, extended families, because sometimes I don't know about you, have you regularly prayed for your extended families, your grandpa, grandma, your uncles, aunties? Sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind, isn't it so? We only see them maybe during Chinese New Year or at funeral services, maybe at weddings. Families among siblings, extended ones, church families, besides your connect groups or your cell group or your Bible study group, what about your neighbors? Do we even just ask God to bless them? They may not be Christians. Do you even know their names, or at least their family names, surnames? So it's not just about praying for our own families to be revived, to be restored. Right? Are you able to get there, brothers? If not, then we'll skip. No. Okay, fine. Thank you. Then let's move on. Well, I encourage you to go to the WEA website, which I'll show you later. Again. Okay, let's move on. So how do we bring about family revival? Everybody says, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Because you see, in Psalm 85 verse 9, which we read, surely his salvation is near to those who, what's the word? Fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. His glory means his brightness, his awesomeness, his power. It's only when the people of God fear God. Now, boys and girls, you may say, what is fear God? Well, fearing God means having a reverence for him, or the word is highest respect. So when in God's presence, or when you are even at home, we believe that God is present. And so when we do wrong things or when we misbehave, we must realize that God is watching over us. You can't escape from him. The fear of God is respecting him, obeying him, submitting to his discipline, and worshiping him in awe, according to this person, Lee Anderson, from the Empowered Community Collective. And from this group called SO4J. Anybody want to guess what is SO4J or S04J? Anyone? Young people? It stands for Soul Out for Jesus. It's all out for Jesus. And if this saying, can you read it together? One, two, go. The greatest, one, two, go. The greatest visible evidence of the fear of God is obedience to God. So when you obey God, you are fearing Him. Because then you do what He says and not do what you want or what other people say. And that's why the second thing that we need to do to bring about family revival, to ask God to restore life back again to us, to give us new life again, is to, can you read the words in red? One, to go. Follow what God says. In verse 8 of Psalm 85, which we read, the psalmist say, I will. It's a choice. And I pray today all of us, young and old, will make that choice. I will listen to what God the Lord says. Because He promises peace for His people in our families, in our homes, in our churches, in our nation, and in the nations. Because He is the Prince of Peace. He promises peace, shalom, complete rest, to His faithful servants. Have we been faithful? Have we been loyal to God? Or have we gone back to our folly? So it is a prayer for us, each one of us, young and old, that we pray for one another that we will not go back to our old sinful, foolish ways, but will follow or will listen. Now, some of the children or young people, for example, even adults, oh, they say, oh, I hear you. But are you following? And so, with that, I want to end by saying that if we want revivals, we must revive our reverence for the Word of God. That means we'll listen to what God says. And for those of you who are going to discuss this, I have actually put this link, which I'm not going to talk much now, but just to show that how do we bring about revival? That means bring back families to what it is meant to be. That means if we have declined, that means if we have not been strong, then you need to begin with a healthy God-centered relationship. You must maintain the relationship between parent and child. You need to teach future generations about the history of God's relationship with His people and, above all, put on love. And so, let's pray for one another, because without prayer, revival will not come. Without obeying God's word, which is in James 5:16, where we confess to one another and we pray for one another so that we may be healed. And then, of course, I want you to just look at this. This is the website that just now I mentioned. And every day, so you got 6 more days to go, plus today 7. I encourage you. It takes only about 7 minutes a day, which my wife and I, we've been trying to keep up to. And it's very simple, with a prayer card, one scripture verse, one praise item, one confession item, some prayer points. Then there's a little podcast that Dr. P.C. Matthew and his wife, C.B. Matthew, actually put together every day. And then I did have permission from Pastor to invite you to the D6 Family Night, which is happening this coming Monday, up at the roof, one of the seminar rooms in Bible House. And then, of course, come up in July, you have the D6 Family Conference in Singapore, which some of your members have attended and found it to be very helpful. And so with that, I pray that, even though I've taken a bit longer time today, that it is such an important matter for us to pray for our families, that not just that God will bless them, but God will revive those who are spiritually declining and weakened by all the crisis and all the conflicts and all the confusion that the evil one, the devil, has sent our way. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I pray that right now you will convict us by your Holy Spirit whether we are married, not married, the families, extended ones, whether we are children or young people, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will indeed hear our cry, Hosanna. Save us, Lord, we pray, from families that they may not return to their folly. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. And all God's people say, Amen. Thank you.